Pasa Baba Kistin. We started it last week. Now we're going to, it's hard to say we're going to finish it because this is a sugya that you can spend 6 months talking about. But I really want to just touch on some of the very important things that we really encounter all the time when we discuss the issue of Pasa Baba Kistin. So let us begin with the following. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Kuf Samaches Seif Yud that if you start to cook something, let's say I have bread and then I cook the bread, does that automatically make the bread lose its status of bread and then it will no longer be hamotzi? Or do we say that maybe it retains its original quality and just because it's cooked, maybe it doesn't lose everything? That is the big discussion in Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, well, it depends how big the pieces of bread are, what kind of cooking is done, all the different qualifications. Okay, that's not such a regular case. That's not normally what we do. But what is very common, fairly common, is to do tigun. What does tigun mean? Tigun means to fry. So let's say I take, instead of cooking something, I fry it. So the Rama says that if I just fry something and I put in a very small amount, a very limited amount of oil in order that it shouldn't stick to the bottom of the pan or that it shouldn't burn, in such a case, says the Rama, that is considered the same as baking. That's not called cooking. That's called baking. The same way if I would bake this recipe in the oven, it would be hamotzi or mizono. So too, if I bake it in a pan and I put a little bit of oil on the bottom that it shouldn't stick to the pan, that would be considered like baking, and the bracha would be the same as if I would have put it into the oven. That is the psak of the Rama. That is the way the Magen Avraham writes as well, and the Mishneh Berurah, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and everybody else assumes if it's a very thin layer of oil, that is not considered cooking, that is considered like baking. What if I have a deep fryer? What's the halacha then? Would you say that a deep fryer is now considered to be like I am baking, just there's some oil involved? Or would you say, no, a deep fryer is the same as throwing these ingredients into a pot filled with water? What would you say? Seems obvious to me that a deep fryer should be the same as filling a pot with water and throwing in the ingredients. That's cooking something. So if you look here in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he writes that. He writes about bishul, kein bishul b'mayim. He says, if I fill up something and there's so much oil in there that it basically covers over the ingredients, and it's the same as if it would be submerged in a pot of water, he said that would be considered like bishul, and that would not be considered like tigun. So let's give a very practical example. Let's say you have matzah brei on Pesach, right? Some people like to make matzah brei on Pesach, and the shaila becomes, are we supposed to make hamotzi on that, or perhaps not? Well, it started off as certainly being matzah. That's no doubt about it. Now I crush up the matzah. I don't make it into tiny little particles like breadcrumbs, thank you. I make it into pieces of matzah that are now inside of the omelet. How do I view that? Is that considered like bishul? Or is that considered like afia? That is a major discussion in the postgame. Let's see what the Chazon Ish has to say about this very issue. Number one, says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Sefer, the same bracha. Everybody with me? Number vav. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, matzah brei. Matzah brei is matzah brei. Pasis matzah shegovlim bebeitzim amayim ochalav umetagnim amachavas. I have a pan. I take the little pieces of matzah, I add in some eggs, I add in some milk, whatever I put in. If I have enough of an omelet or enough of a mixture in there that the matzah is being covered over by all of that, he says the only time there's a suffix is when I have a very little amount of shemen, a very little amount of oil that is only there to stop it from sticking to the bottom of the pan. So says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, this will be something that we would say would be the difference. V'lo b'memalei shemen, aval imetagin ima'at shemen, rak shelo yisarif, mevarchan alav hamotzi yibirchas hamazon. So Reb Shlomo Zalman's opinion is that if you have pieces of matzah in a big omelet, you would say mizonos, even though this is the same matzah as it was when it was in the box. But since now I crushed it up, I made it into smaller pieces, even if the aggregate is going to be a kezias, or even a lot more than that, still, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, since it's considered like it was nisbashel, like it was cooked, therefore we would say it loses its status of amotzi, and you only make a mizonos. Along comes the Chazon Ish, of course the Chazon Ish. Because bishul, we assume, if I bake something in the oven, that's bread. If I cook something in a pot, let's say I make knedlach, would anyone in their right mind say that even though knedel is the same ingredients as bread, But nobody would say that that would be hamotzi. Why not? Because it's cooked. So if something like that is cooked, as we'll see in a couple of minutes, so then we assume the halacha would be different. The question is, when you have these middle ground, so it's not as if the matzah loses its properties. I see it right here. It's a piece of matzah. I can identify it. It's not crushed up in the whole thing. But still, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, since it is basically submerged under the omelet, and it's surrounded by it, that's the same as being submerged in water. And therefore, he says, it would not be hamotzi, it would be mazonos. Along comes the Chazon Ish. Again, the Chazon Ish was before Rav Shlomo Zalman, and the Chazon Ish writes as follows. Let's see what he says. Im nitkan afilu en kezayis v'yesh bo teresa denama, if it still has the teresa denama, means it looks like bread. Tzarech netilas adam rebrechas amazim. Nehilchach, and therefore matzah shen nitkana, if you have matzah that is going to be fried. V'chein amaniichem perui matzah b'machavas hadagim, sheyesh lahem din tigun, srichem netilas adam rebrechas amazim mekezayis, even though each piece of matzah inside of the omelet is less than a kezayis, but since I'm going to have a lot more than a kezayis altogether, therefore I would have to wash. Because it still looks like matzah. If I would crush it up and make it into small particles, and I would pulverize it, then it's no longer something that looks like matzah. Aber lechem shenitgam ve'embo teresa denama ve'embo prusa kezayis, but a lachma v'kovim nalea u'mevarech me'en shalosh. Okay, so that is the big dispute between Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Chazon Ish. Exactly, how do we deal with this? Along comes Rav Shlomo Zalman and he says, which Yari Shamayim wants to get involved in the machlokas between me and the Chazon Ish? He doesn't say it that way, but that's the way I imagine. Who wants to get involved in a suffix? Should I make a hamotzi? Should I make a mazonos? Now, the easiest way around it is, take a piece of bread, take a piece of matzah and wash, and that's it. Not everybody wants to do that, or not everybody has a piece of bread available, or a piece of matzah available. So what does Rav Shlomo Zalman suggest? He says the easiest way to get around it is, before you put the omelet in, take all the matzah, put it in a pot of water, and soak it with water on the coals, on the fire. And then it certainly loses its properties because then it's nisbashel. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't account for is then your omelet is going to be disgusting, right? Your matzah bar is not going to taste like matzah. It's going to take like whatever. I don't know what it's going to taste like. But Rav Shlomo Zalman wasn't worried about that. What he's worried about is, what are you going to do about the bracha? And because he's worried about the bracha, he says the easiest way to do it is, before you throw in all the other ingredients with the omelet and with the whole milk and everything else, pour in some water into the pan, have it soak and boil on top of the fire with the matzah in the water, and then you add in all the other ingredients. This way, it already lost its property of hamotzi because it was cooked. Once it's cooked, now you add it into an omelet and everything will be fine. That's the way Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach gets around the problem. Very easy suggestion as he says it, as he puts it. Again, for those of us who like matzah brei, may not be the simplest suggestion that you could imagine because it is not something that you may find enjoyable. Aside from that, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, the second easier eitzah is what we said. Just eat it in the context of a meal. Just wash beforehand, and that will be a good enough way to get around the problem. Yeah. Yeah. French toast is bread. All you're doing is putting a little bit of shemen in there that it shouldn't stick to the bottom of the pan. So that would be considered like bread. That would certainly be hamotzi. Yeah.
Why would Chazon Ish be okay with soaking it in water? Because wouldn't it be, would it still look like matzah?
Yeah, but that the Shulchan Aruch already talks about. What happens when I have water, when I have bread that I soak in water on the pot, inside of a pot, when does it lose its property of bread and when not? Depends how big it is, depends how small it is. Yeah, it's soaking in eggs, that's the shaila here. Would we say that that's the same, or perhaps not? Now, what about breadcrumbs? Oh, you had a question?
Well, I was going to ask, if the same ingredients instead of matzo was challah,
yeah,
and you're making the same challah bride.
Same thing. Yeah, same. Yeah. What about matzah meal or matzah flour or breadcrumbs? What would the halacha be about that? So, most obviously we have, let's say people make kneidlach, right? So, not everybody eats gebruchs on Pesach, so forget Pesach. Let's say you have a kneidlach on a regular time, right? Any other day of the week. So, what bracha do you make on a kneidl? What's the bracha? You always wash first, okay? The bracha on a kneidl, everybody assumes, is mazonos. But why is it mazonos? It should be amotzi. What do you put inside of it? It's cooked, but it's the same ingredients as bread. So here, let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah tells us here, if you look at number Tess, this is in Simen Kuf Samaches, Sivkat Nun Tess, says the Mishnah Berurah. Impir halechem ad shechazir on the soles. If you had bread and then you pulverize it to the point that it now turns back into flour, like breadcrumbs, and then you go back and you add it into a mixture and you add another ingredient and now it turns into something else. For example, a knedlach. I'm a magen Avraham Asher Kasa Bezev. Haskamas harbe achronim, says the Mishnah Berurah. The consensus seems to be the imbishlam bekedera otignam bemachalas. If you are going to then go subsequently and boil it in a pot, or you're going to fry it, b'mashke dechashem kibishul, afshi yesh b'chol achas kazayis v'yoser mevarich aleim borim min hamazonos. Even though each one, each knedel has more than a kazayis, right? You took bread, you crushed it up, you made it into you pulverize it to the point that now it looks like flour or it's breadcrumbs, and now you make a knedel out of it. So there's a kazayis in that knedel. Still, he says, the halacha is Mina ka'olam is that you make a mazonos and not a hamotzi, even though it started off as bread. Why? Because we assume, since it started off as bread but then was boiled in water, then we assume it loses its property as bread and it would no longer be considered hamotzi lechem in haaretz. Which brings us to a very obvious issue. What is the status of bagels? What is the status of bagels? What bracha do you make on a bagel? Now, we all know the halacha is you make a bracha of hamotzi. But why do you make hamotzi? After all, the bagel is boiled in water. So maybe we should say the same way if I take knedlach and I mix those ingredients and I put it into water, even though it once was bread, I now have changed the status. And because I boiled it in the water, it now loses its hamotzi and it becomes a mazonos. So shouldn't I say the same thing for a bagel? What's the answer? Speak afterwards. So let's see. Zak the Chazonish, let's look here in number Yud, explains the Chazonish in Arachayim. Isa shenizbashla o nitkana va'afilu b'lilasa ava. If you have something which is exactly like bread, which is a bagel, exactly like bread. Kovin alea below birchas hamazon va'aftika kazayis v'ik alea tirusa denama. Chazer va'afara nira dehavi lechem gamur. If I have something that looks like bread, tastes like bread, all the same ingredients, but I boil it in water, says the Chazonish, that would be mazonos. Then I take it afterwards, subsequently, and I bake it in the oven. Now it's going to become hamotzi. V'hilkach, halachamim ha'agulim shekorin. Anyone with me? Halachamim ha'agulim shekorin bagel. If you have those round things that are called bagels, he says, in such a case, hamotziyim b'neinu, that all of us, if you go to the bakery, they have bagels for sale, hanechlatim o misbashlim kodem afiyasam, even though they fry them first, or they boil them, they deep fry them first, we assume, since they're going to bake them afterward, it would now be considered to be lechem. Yeah?
Why would the status change to mezonos and not shahakum?
Because it still is those ingredients. It still is made from those ingredients. It would still be mezonos, but it just wouldn't be the status of lechem because it doesn't look like lechem. The only time someone gets a brach of hamotzi lechem in haaretz is when it looks like lechem, when it has a teresa denama, the Gemara says. So now let's change. What? It does, but it was cooked. Usually when it's cooked, we say, once it's cooked in water, it loses its status.
Even though
it may look the same, correct. So now we get to, let's say, the poskim talk about Melba toast. Anybody knows what a Melba toast is?
Yeah.
Very, how do you describe a Melba toast? Cliff, help me out here. It's a cracker. It's basically a cracker. So what is it? It's bread that they toast till it's really toast, and they cut it, they slice it very, very thin, and it basically turns into a chip. That's what it is. But in the end of the day, if you recreate everything where this came from, it was a slice of bread that they cut up into tiny little pieces that now turned into crackers. So what's the halacha there? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach as follows. Let's learn this together. Ha'ochel tzunimin, melba toast, right? So if somebody eats tzunimin, which means if you eat toast, and he says we call it crackers, melba toast. Mevarech aleihem borim min hamazonos. Borim min hamazonos, why? What do you mean? Should have been hamotzi. Why? Because this used to be bread. Then we chopped up the bread into small pieces, toasted it. So how did it lose its status? Tizel mamish akeevim yaveshim hamuva b'shulchan aruch. He says, number one, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about what Pasa Baba Kisnan is, the Shulchan Aruch says, one opinion in the Rishonim that we spoke about last week is, if you have something that's very flaky, So he says that is exactly what Melba toasts are. They're very flimsy. They crack very easily. Sometimes when you buy a box of them, half of them are cracked already. They're not, right? When you buy tortilla chips, they're not all whole. Many of them are cracked. Why? Because they're very fragile. So too over here, he says, this is exactly Pasa Baba Kistan. There are some people who instead of having bread at a meal will have a Melba toast. Doesn't that show you that it's Amotzi because this is your meal? He says, no, but the nature of this whole food that we're describing is a snack. Everybody knows that bread is bread and snack is crunchy. So it's hard to draw the line. This is what they're struggling with. Every item you have to figure out, is this a snack or is it a tachlif lelechem? I'll be honest, there are times when I don't want to wash and I'll have crackers with egg salad. Right? A tuna fish, right? You're going to have crackers with something else. Why? Because you want it to be the substitute for the bread. Aye, but once you do that, doesn't it then become the ikur hasuda? And then you should say you should have to wash. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, no. You also have to look at what is the nature of this item. Most people view this item as a snack. A melba toast is not looked at as a piece of bread. Nobody says, can you pass the small pieces of bread over there? No, they say, can you pass the crackers? Oh, uvim matzah, same thing. Uvematza atzma, kvar nagu asvardim levarach baraminim mizonos. He says, by matzah itself, the svardim make a mizonos. V'zeh od garua yosemi matzah. This is less. She matzah noach lechem imenu harbe ma'sheen kemezeh. Matzah, people can actually be koveh asudan. These crackers, you eat a couple and that's it. V'lachein mistavar, and therefore it makes sense. She calls matzah eno ochel shir kviya suda, mevarach baraminim mizonos. He says, if you're going to eat a whole box of melba toast, then you make a hamotzi. But if you're just going to eat a couple, you're just going to have a little bit of egg salad on it, then he says he would only make a mizonos hafilu shebetchila ofem osam b'torah lechem gamor, even though they started off being real bread, v'rak achar kachotchem osam lechatichos dagros, and then they slice them into thin slices, v'ofem osam pam shnia lasos mehem tzenimin, and they make these toasts after they make it into very thin portions, mikal makom l'mikri pas machmas hafiya rishona, Chiddush, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. When you originally made it into bread, you had no intention that it was going to remain bread. Your intention when you first baked it was, you're going to slice it into smaller pieces, and you're going to make it into melba toast. So he said, just because it started off that way, that does not have an impact on what I decided to do later on with it. Interesting Chiddush. Now, let's take that back to the bagel. Should work in the other direction, right? What did we say by a bagel? It started off being mizonos because it was boiled. But since we knew that we were going to bake it, so now the baking changes it. How come over here it doesn't change it also? Okay, you have to figure out each case. I don't know exactly, but that's what he says. Amnam, beis charosha shemishtamshim belechem yashan ve'osimem tznimim. If let's say you have a factory where I don't know such a factory that exists, but he says, let's say you had a factory where they don't make a bread run for the melba toast. They go around to all the employees and they say, okay, anybody have leftover bread from your Shabbos this week? Again, it's not, I'm exaggerating his case, but he says, or let's say, Adam Prati, let's say in my own house, I don't make bread specifically to make crackers. But let's say I decided the kids are home from school one day, let's start experimenting, and we decide, let's take the bread that we had left over from Shabbos and let's put it in the toaster, make small pieces. Maybe we'll make our own bagel chips. We'll make our own pita chips. So are we allowed, are we then supposed to make a hamotzi or not? Here, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you would make hamotzi on those, even though they look the same and they taste the same. But since when the bread was originally baked, it was not with the intention of making it into a cracker, but rather with the intention of it being bread, then it was already nikva as being hamotzi, and that status doesn't leave. This is a big chiddush. Anyone agree with me that this is a chiddush?
So, if you decided to make a homemade crouton,
right,
with the bread, same issue?
Correct. So let's say, great example. Let's say, for example, people sometimes take the bread that they have left over and they make croutons. They'll flavor it, they'll put spices on it, and they'll put it into a salad. That would be the same example as of Shlomo Zalman's writing over here, which is a big chiddush. A very interesting chiddush, but it's a big chiddush.
So you put those croutons into soup?
What? No, because it's still, it was nikva already, yeah. Along comes Rabbi Belsky in the official files of the OU, and he says, those who say that Melba toast are mezonos, toast muchletasi. He says, it's an absolute mistake. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is splitting hairs here. He says, depends, what was your kavana when you originally made the bread? Was it for a cracker? Was it for a bread? Bottom line, was it a piece of bread or not? If it was a piece of bread, I don't care what your kavana was, it becomes hamotzi, and it doesn't matter what you do to it afterward. So Rabbi Belsky was of the opinion that the OU should advise people that they have to make a hamotzi on the Melba toast crackers and anything like that on the croutons, as you mentioned as well, the salad croutons, because those all started off as being bread, and it doesn't matter what your original intention was when you made the bread. The bottom line is, it was baked as bread, and now it's smaller pieces of bread, so it's still hamotzi. Question, yeah.
It's almost like we justify the mezono status because of its size. Let's say the Melba toast was the same size as a slice of bread.
Then it wouldn't even be a shiloh.
Then it would be bread.
Right, correct.
Even
correct.
Though its intention was Melba toast.
Crackers, seems that way. I think so. So now we move on to what I'm sorry?
The bagel chips were now just a slice of bagel.
Right. I think that would be hamotzi for sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's a toasted bagel. That's what it is, right? Now we move on to what I believe is a very surprising discussion that the Chazon Ish has. This is not found in the Sefer Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish would never write the story. This is found in the biography called Maisa Ish. So they tell the following, what I find is a humorous story. Chazon Ish would probably cringe if he saw this written about him. But this is what the Chazon Ish, this is what happened. Listen to the story. Interesting story. Number Yud Beis on the bottom. Everybody have a sheet? No? There should be a bunch. Where do you leave the extras? Right there.
In the back.
Okay, look at this Chazon Ish. This is number Yud Beis on the bottom. Harav Agon Rabbi Eliyahu Friedman Zatzal Higia Palm the Beis Rabbeinu. I don't know who this Rabbi Eliyahu Friedman was, but he came to the Chazon Ish's house. V'haya Tamua Be'enav. And he was very surprised. Shenagu Lipal Apayim Be'Beis Midrasho Ben Sukkis L'Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. He was surprised. He came to the Chazon Ish's house. They were davening mincha. And it turns out that they were saying Tachnun after Sukkis before Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. And he thought the minig is that we don't say Tachnun. Now, if I came to the Chazon Ish's house and I saw they weren't saying Tachnun, I would be quiet. But I assume this Rabbi Friedman was some big Talmud Chacham. And he thought the Chazon Ish was wrong. So he had one problem was why are they saying Tachnun if it's the week between Sukkis and Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Problem number two was Tamua Etzlo. He sees Mrs. Chazon Ish, I don't know her name, Eishes Rabbeinu, Holechas and Peal Rosha. He sees that she's wearing a sheitel. And he can't understand what's going on. Now you say Tachnun here, you wear a sheitel here. Well, what's going on? This is the Chazon Ish's house. How can this be? Ukinar Yerushalmi haya adavar Etzlo lepele. And he was a Yerushalmi Jew. And Yerushalmi, he writes, the Yerushalmi always thinks that he's right. And everybody else in the world is wrong. So he opens his mouth and he asks the Chazon Ish, what's going on here? Now, even if you're going to open your mouth to the Chazon Ish, I can hear that you're going to ask him a kasha about the Tachnun. I don't understand what would prompt a person to ask a question about the Chazon Ish's wife, Sheitel. I don't know. But okay. Amar lo Rabbeinu. So the Chazon Ish looks at this young Yerushalmi boy and he says, Ra'isich Tamea, it seems that you're very perplexed. It seems that you're very confused about something. Mashalav Sheishti, so he says, let me explain. My wife is not walking around the house with her hair uncovered. Ein zeh sar atzmi, this is not her natural hair, elapeya. Calm down, this is just a sheitel. It's such a good sheitel that you confused it that it's real. Now, that's not what happened. The boy knew it was a sheitel, but he thought, you're not allowed to wear a sheitel. Uvei zerim shalanu kach nagu lechas. I got news for you. You live in Yerushalayim, you do whatever you want. In our neighborhood, they wear a sheitel and it's fine. So I'm just letting you know that that's why my wife is doing this. Uvei nagela tachnun. What's the story with tachnun you want to know? Madua hincha mispale al kach. What's your problem? Biglal shebeluach kasev shelo omrim. Where did you learn that we don't say tachnun? Because you looked in the Ezra's Torah luach and it says we don't say. I'm the Chazon Ish. Nu? Nu, he says, I make up the rules. Not really, but he says, you know, I disagree with the luach, so what do I care what you think? Okay, Sipar Balamaisa. Later, Rabbi Eliyahu Friedman says that he was telling over the story. Azus Haisabi, and he said, I had such chutzpah, v'chashti kenifka, ki ilu minhagi rishalayim, enim uchubadim, V'amarti b'hislavus, and he said, I was such a disrespectful person in the face of the Chazon Ish, and I said to the Chazon Ish, you think minhag Yerushalayim hei ma'od mekoriyim? What do you mean? You're upset that I'm upset about Tachnun and Shetels. That's because I come from Yerushalayim. Do you know that the minhag Yerushalayim is dating back generations? So maybe I'm right. This is what the young boy says back to the Chazon Ish. Amazing. Uludugma, for example, Yerushalayim nagu lechol b'kiddush al Shabbos baboker kugel. He says in Yerushalayim the practice is, this is what the kid tells him, I find this amazing. In Yerushalayim, the practice is that everybody has kiddush Shabbos morning after davening, and they eat kugel. Heyosu machmas haravon, and because people are starving, meaning in Yerushalayim, not everybody had food, so you go to kiddush Shabbos morning and you have food. Okay, so you come to shul, ochlem kamus gedola, they eat multiple pieces of kugel, v'nechnasam l'sheyla shal berchas hamazon, v'lachein en ochlem uga elo kugel. So, everybody knows in Yerushalayim that the Jews are going to be starving. So they come Shabbos morning and they eat a lot at the Kiddush. They don't just eat a little bit. Because they don't want to get involved in a shayla of Birchas HaMazon, so they eat kugel so that they won't have to get involved in the question. That's the minhag Yerushalayim. Instead of eating cake, they eat kugel at the Kiddush. This is what the boy tells the Chazon Ish. And therefore you see that the Jews in Yerushalayim are so scrupulous and so careful and so mindful of the halacha, and that is why they have this practice to eat the kugel instead of the cake. Interesting. Amar lo Chazon Ish.
Why is that good for Kiddush?
What?
Why would that be good for Kiddush? Do we have mezonos?
No. Yerushalmi kugel is mezonos.
You say that they eat so much
better
that it wasn't considered.
Oh, so let's see. Amar lo Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish turns to him and he says, Chas v'shalom. Kodesh kadashim. I agree, minhagi Yerushalayim are great. Aval aluach, he says, okay, but back to the Tachnun issue. Don't worry about the Tachnun. Umasha to Omer ala kugel shalachein ochlim, and you're telling me that everybody eats kugel in order not to get involved? Anisavar, says the Chazon Ish, I hold shim ochlim imenu shir. If you eat enough kugel, you have to bench on the kugel. You're eating Yerushalmi kugel.
Why would you think not?
Why would you think yes?
I'm sure
who would bench on Yerushalmi kugel? It's noodles. Let's say I have five bowls. One second. Let's say I have five bowls of noodles. Will you make a hamotzi? Kaveh asuda on the noodles? You won't. Zak the Chazon Ish. Yeah, that's a bowl of noodles. But when you have it made into Yerushalmi kugel, sliced like this, it looks like a slice of bread. Chiddush atzum. Makes a lot of sense. But he says, if you're going to be starving Shabbos morning, you're trying to tell me what tzaddikim they are in Yerushalayim. Let me tell you something, young man. Let me tell you that if these people are coming to Kiddush Shabbos morning and eating five pieces of Yerushalmi kugel, they have to bench. It's the Kiddush of the Chazon Ish. Okay. Along comes Rabbi Yashiv, who is the Yerushalmi. He grew up in Yerushalayim. And he says, Im achal kashir kvius mevarech hamotzi. Mikivan shehu nefe achar shenes bashel. V'ha'afio nosenes lo din ma'afe. U'mafkia mimenu din tavshil. Even if you take the kugel and you first boil it, meaning, how do you boil your Yerushalmi kugel? Because you have to cook the noodles. You cook the noodles, but then later on you bake it. And therefore, it's the same as the bagel. Correct? Just like the bagel, when you cook it first, you boil it first, and then you bake it, it turns into hamotzi. So too, says Rabbi Yashiv, who's the Yerushalmi over here, that you have to worry about the Yerushalmi kugel then becoming hamotzi. So he says it all depends on what happens afterward. And since you are then going to go ahead and bake it, therefore we don't care that it was originally something that you had cooked. Since later on you baked it, that would be something that would deem it a hamotzi if you had enough of it. What? Right. If you add enough of it, then it's pasavah b'kisnin. That's what he says. Then it becomes pasavah b'kisnin. Noodles are not pasavah b'kisnin. But if you have something that looks like bread, like cake, something like that, so he says, Yerushalmi kugel will be no different. To me, this is so pashut, but it's such a chiddush at the same time. It's like fascinating. No? Once you hear it, it makes a lot of sense. But,
what? Does it look like bread?
I don't know. When you have a slice of Yerushalmi kugel?
It's noodles.
What do you say, Cliff? So this is a, this I find,
the
this I find to be, what?
They're not saying it's because of
It has to be both. It has to be both. Look, the Shulchan Aruch writes that one of the things that we need in order to have this whole discussion about Hamotzi is it has to have some kind of Teresa, Tzuras HaPas, Teresa Denama. So let's say, for example, what would he say about Cheerios? Cheerios is not Tzuras HaPas. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, Cheerios, I'm not so sure. What do you mean? Now, I don't know what his suffix is. I don't get it. I don't even begin to understand it. And why is this relevant to this time of the year? Pas Yisrael. During Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the Shulchan Aruch writes that we're machmir, that we eat only Chalav Yisrael, only Pas Yisrael. Right? We're machmir. Oh, you say Chalav Yisrael, yes, no, whatever. You should be machmir on Chalav Yisrael all the time, Rav Moshe says, right? Yerush Shemaim should be machmir all the time. So we eat M&Ms, we eat other things, but during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we should be machmir, right? So we don't eat Pas Yisrael for sure. Pas Akum we don't eat during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So, am I allowed to have Cheerios during Aseret Yemei Teshuva? What would you say? Yeah. I would say, it's not Pas. What's the Havamina? It has nothing to do with Pas. This is a big discussion. My father writes, if you look here, I didn't put it on here. My father writes in the OU official documents, Kenira Pasha Chafilo Misha Achal Ton Shel Cheerios. Even if somebody eats a whole container of Cheerios. What is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach talking about? How can you confuse a Cheerio with a piece of bread? They're two totally different things. And cereals wouldn't be considered that at all. Rabbi Belsky writes this as well, where he says that when you have Cheerios, and Captain Crunchy writes about all these different things, he said that it's not considered like Pas, and therefore during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, you have no reason to go and buy the kosher brand of Cheerios, which tastes kosher, right? Whatever. It doesn't taste at all like Cheerios. You wouldn't have to do that because it's not Pas. And the whole prohibition of Pas Palter is only on something that is actually Pas. Now, what the poskim are all struggling with here in the whole discussion is, how do we define what has qualifications of Pas, what looks like Pas, and what perhaps does not? Say, for example, go back to the first sheet, number Aleph here. Number Aleph is a passage from the Yalkut Yosef. That's Rav Avadi Yosef's son, the current Sephardi chief rabbi in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. So he writes as follows. He's talking about a puff pastry, right? You ever had a puff pastry? So, what is the status of a puff pastry? What?
That's classic, right? Has a pocket.
Has a pocket, okay. So, if I'm being kovea sud on it, I should have to wash. So, he writes, Pashtida shanasas mi batzek alim, that's a puff pastry dough. Va'isa nifreches, means it falls apart, right? Which basically is what puff pastry does. When you start cutting it, it starts withering. Even though inside of the puff pastry it's filled with all kinds of fillings, right? If you have cigars, right? When you come to a wedding or some kind of event and they're serving cigars that have meat inside, he assumes that that would be considered a classical case of pasaba bekisnin, and there would be no reason to wash on it unless you're actually being koveya suda. It would just be mazonos. Along comes the Chut Shani, Rav Vosner, and he says, Kazeh yesh ladon le'inyin mashakorin borekas, shu asri kamin mivtzak alim, umumula betocho betapuche adama. It has potatoes inside, it's a potato boreka. Da koveya hu im hu asri betzura kazu shano ala achilas arai o la achilas keva. You have to figure out, why am I eating the boreka? Am I eating the boreka as a part of a snack? Or am I eating the boreka as a major part of the meal? So this is a big discussion. What I find most surprising, look over here back on the second page. If you look here, where is this? Oh, I'm sorry. First page, number Gimel. Pancakes. What is the status of pancakes? If I eat 10 pancakes, do I have to wash? You hope not, right? Now, what do you say? The truth is, do pancakes look so different than bread? Again, we all know that a pancake is a pancake, right? But it's not so far off. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes the following. In the Sefer V'Sein Bracha, they quote, V'samti pancake lefnei hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I put a pancake in front of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Upasak and he paskin sheyesh aleim Torah lechem vim kavu aleim suda tsarach lito yadav ulevarich al natilas yadayim hamotzi yerbrichas hamazon. Amazing. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, if you were kovei asuda and you had enough pancakes, you would be mechuyev to wash on it, because that would be considered like bread. What do you think about that? Make sense? You don't like that. Why does it not make sense to you? What? So then it should be like bread. Exactly. Hagufa. Because it doesn't crunch is exactly why he says it's like bread. What's the story with pizza? So look over here. Look over here, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yashiv writes the following. Okay, number Tezayin. Kama Shabirarti. He says, I looked into it, and I found out, and I discovered, Rov ha'anashim ochlem asa pizza lesova, betor achas ha'orcho shalahem, velo lekinuach levad. He says, I looked around, I did some homework, and I found out that most people eat pizza as a meal, not as a snack. Ulefize, Yotze, and it turns out, if that is the case, shaladas ha'mishne brura birchas ha'pizza hu ha'motzi. Ki bevadai lo nikar me'ha'pizza shehine echeles lekinuach levad. Right, so Rabbi Yashiv, he discussed it with Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, and it would seem that since most people eat pizza as a meal, not as a snack, therefore pizza is hamotzi. Okay, along comes Rabbi Avadi Yosef, and he says, "Lefize hadavar pashat shala pizza kisha habatzek nilosh b'mayim v'nosnim aleha gvina." You put all kinds of cheeses on top, v'resek agvaniyos, and you put all kinds of sauces. He says, it would be amotzi. It's a meal. Why wouldn't it be the same as any other bread? Okay, not so fast. We all know that in America, many people follow the psak of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes, Rav Moshe is quoted by his Talmidim. If you have one slice, it's considered to be a snack. If you have three slices, that's considered to be a meal. If I have two, that's where the suffix is. That's where Rav Moshe said. We don't have time to read this because I have to run somewhere now. But if you look here, number Yud Ches, fascinating. In the Sefer of the same bracha, they have a whole discussion here where they quote that they went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and they said, listen, you're telling us that in Eretz Yisrael, most people that you did your poll with say that they eat pizza as a meal. I'm sorry to let you know that in America, maybe that's not the case. In America, maybe it's not the same. Then they told Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that somebody did a survey, the USDA did a survey, Vehem Badku Eitzel 175,000 people, and they asked them, is pizza a meal to you or is pizza a snack? That's what they asked. And they said, Virak Be'erach Eser Achuz Nechal Kechatif. They said 90% of the people said they eat it as a meal, and 10% of Americans that were asked in the survey of 175,000 people, which is not so big, but it's a pretty big, what? What? 17,000. Thank you. I made a mistake. Thank you. I put the comma in the wrong place. Okay. So if I have that kind of survey, so what's the halacha? Rak be'erech eser achuz nechal kechatif. Only 10% of the people who responded said that they eat it as a snack. Ema metzius hu kein behagoyim istavar shegam hu eitz al yehudim. We have no reason to assume that only the non-Jewish communities in America feel this way about pizza and the Jews feel differently. We have to assume Americans all think the same way about their food. That's what he says. And therefore he says, maybe we should argue that pizza nowadays is going to change its status even in America. When did Rav Moshe say that pizza is going to be considered a mezonos? That's when the assumption was that most people ate pizza only as a snack. But since he said now they did a survey, and it turns out that most people in America who responded said that they eat it as a tachlif l'seuda, that they use it as a meal, then maybe the status of the bracha on pizza has to change also. And now we're no different than the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they believe that it's hamotzi because everybody eats pizza as a meal. In America, not so clear. So that's a very, very interesting discussion that I, what?
Even on one slice.
Even on one slice. That's the show. There has to be some kind of standard, right? There has to be... You're saying maybe there's no object. Maybe it should be objective.
Sometimes I'll take a slice of pizza before dinner.
I'm sorry. Maybe it should be subjective. You're saying, yeah, I don't know.
Pizza, I'll eat as a meal.
Right, maybe that could be. Yeah, you should read this paragraph. It's very fascinating, very interesting, where he discusses maybe our whole discussion about pizza should change in America, and we should change the custom that many people follow. But it's clear, the poskim in Eretz Yisrael assumed from day one that pizza is considered to be hamotzi. The shaila is here in America.
Why is pizza
different
than a slice of bread, though?
Why is pizza different than a slice of bread? Pizza is different than a slice of bread.